Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks. We do have plenty of open lines right now at 844-322-2742. The good news is Jesus Christ is alive. He's redeemed us. And the question of the week is this: what does redemption mean to you? And we had several people answer that question on our Facebook page. Some of the responses included this from Samuel: saved from the very, very bad ending. Tim wrote this: redemption to me is having Jesus clear for me a debt I could never repay, giving me a life that I could never earn, and putting me in a right standing with God that I could never achieve. I thought that was well worded. Yeah. And then Teresa from New York writes this: I can finally rest from all the fear of condemnation. So that's what redemption means to Samuel, Tim, and Teresa. Andrew Farley joins us today. Andrew, what does redemption mean to you?
You know, guys, when I was a kid, I remember we had a two-hour church service with a little break there in between, and we would go down to the local store, and we would buy RC Cola. And when we bought RC Cola, they would also take back our old bottles because they wanted, you know, those were redeemable. They would buy them back for a few cents, and, of course, they would rework them and refill them and reseal them and then resell them. And to me, you know, that's always been a picture of what it means to be, you know, bought back by God. We lost connection with God in the Garden of Eden, and then he bought us back with the blood of Jesus Christ, and then he filled us with his Holy Spirit and sealed us, and now we are for God's purpose. Now we're being used by him, and boy, that's a way better way to live life, and just to be worth something to God, and to be worth that much to God, that God would pay Jesus for us. It speaks to our value. It speaks to our worth. It speaks to the new purpose we have now in Christ. And to me, it's just awesome to think about.
Yeah. In marketing terms, it's like we've been repackaged and repurposed. That's exactly what redemption is. It's being set free from sin and death, so that we can walk in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. And we want to hear from you, our listener, as well. If you have an answer to that question, what does redemption mean to you? Call us right now at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We have a wonderful resource this month for our listeners. It's called Freedom Fighters. And if you want to know what freedom is all about, how to live in and live out your freedom in Christ, this is a fabulous resource that examines all of the key passages in the New Testament about the freedom that we have in Christ, the redemption that is ours through the shed blood of Jesus. So if you would like a copy of that Freedom Fighter CD, go to our website, basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the tab on the front page that talks about that, and you can request your copy right there. Again, the resource is Freedom Fighters. So if you want to know how to live in freedom, this is the resource for you. If you want to help others live in that same freedom, get this resource. Use it to minister to your friends and family members. Well, the number, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. Let's go to Brad in O'Fallon, Missouri. Hi, Brad. Welcome to Basic Gospel, my friend.
Thank you very much. I've got a couple comments I'll make, and I'll get off and let you all discuss it. Number one, I didn't know Andrew was going to be on today. And redemption, I'm reminded of a teaching that your gift to Jesus. God gave us as a gift to Jesus. That's pretty good redemption. The other thing is that I was thinking about my freedom in Christ, and I got the thought of how peaceful I also was with God. And I wondered if peace and freedom were hooked up in Scripture. And it's really strange. It wasn't in the NASB, but several of the other Bibles that I have, Peace and Freedom were hooked up throughout the gospel accounts, which I thought was very interesting. So I'll get off and let y'all comment. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Brad. Always good to hear from you. Andrew, talk to us about what he was mentioning there.
Yeah, well, you know, he was talking about a message that I shared, I guess, a year or two ago. And the whole point of it was, you know, John chapter 17, Jesus says, he's talking to his Father and he's praying. And he says, those whom you have given me. And there's just this sense in that wording, like, you know, that Jesus is thankful for us. Like, he's thanking the Father that we have been given to him. So in that sense, we're a gift from God to Jesus. And again, it just speaks to our value that God would esteem us in that way, and that Jesus would love and even appreciate us in that way. So, you know, today on Basic Gospel, we're talking about redemption, and there's many ways to look at it. But John 17 just offers us another angle that, you know, God has called us a gift to Jesus, and Jesus is thankful for us right there in John 17. And, you know, I just wonder how many listeners out there wake up every day and think of themselves as having that worth and having that value that the entire Trinity is very pleased to have us. And that's a beautiful thought to really set your mind on.
Yeah, to think that God takes joy in us, it really is a foreign concept, isn't it? But
yeah.
When you read the Word of God, that is a recurring theme from beginning to end, the fact that God actually takes joy in his relationship with us, and takes joy in living his life through us and enabling us to flourish as human beings. I mean, when he looks down at the world and he sees, you know, sin and death and people who are lost and sinners and dead spiritually, you know, his heart goes out because they're not living up to what God created them to be. They're not being fully human. And it's only in Christ that we can flourish as human beings. We can actually live out what God intended for us all along. And that's when we're really human, isn't it? That's when we really, I guess, embrace the joy of being what God created us to be.
Yeah. I mean, you can't say it any better than that. And, you know, It's just a way of getting God's perspective on ourselves. We have too many people that want to give us a perspective. Your employer tells you you're not doing good enough. Your children, well, that's all another story altogether. We can be great parents, and yet, you know, getting that appreciation and that respect and that admiration and all of that, we may be waiting a long time on that one from our kids, but the reality is that God the Father, who does know what he's talking about, God the Father esteems us completely and values us deeply, and we got to remember that because we're going to need it.
Yes, indeed. 844-322-2742 is the number. You're listening to Basic Gospel. Richard Pfeiffer is here. Andrew Farley. My name is Bob Christopher. We would love to hear from you. The question on the table today, what does redemption mean to you? If you have a response to that, call right now, 844-322-2742. Richard?
Yeah, we have a question here from Jay, who listens on the Internet. I'm going to read the question as he wrote it, and then I want to correct something in it and then open it up for the conversation. I understand that it is God's will for all people to be saved, but I don't understand why God would allow Satan to roam the world and distract and deceive people from salvation. I used to ask that question very similarly to that, because I thought, you know, if it wasn't for Satan, I would have long ago chosen Jesus, because I was neutral at worst and probably a pretty good guy at best. Well, the point here is not that only Satan keeps us from salvation. The fact is, we're born not saved. We're born spiritually dead. And I think this redemption angle comes into why God allows us, you know, he hasn't ended it all right now. Why is he allowing Satan to be around? Why? What does he want from us in spite of our being dead spiritually?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I think people wrestle with that, and they sort of wish, you know, in their own agenda, we wish that God would wave a magic wand and that, you know, everything would be suddenly all better everywhere. And there's even folks out there that sort of teach a Santa Claus God. They say that, you know, God's just going to save everybody apart from their will, and that there's no choice to make and that sort of thing. And we very clearly see from Scripture, you know, especially early there in the book of Romans, that we're born and we have foolish hearts, and our hearts are darkened, our minds are darkened. We are excluded from the life of God, and we need help. And, you know, without God intervening, we would remain spiritually dead. And this is not, you know, Satan by himself doing something. As you mentioned, Richard, I mean, it's really our nature and our spiritual condition that is at play here. And the fact that the enemy can hitch up to that and work with that and collaborate and be in cahoots with that is one thing. But if the enemy were to be exterminated in this moment, we would still, as unbelievers, we would still have a serious problem on our hands. And so that's why we need resurrection life. Jesus brings us new life, new resurrection life, because that is the very core of our problem to begin with.
Yeah. I think even though we say, you know, we're sinners, we give lip service to that, you know, I think in so many people's hearts, there's still this idea that basically they're good people. You know, I've just made some mistakes here and there, but I'm basically a good person. And until we come to that point and really recognize, you know, Paul used the word wretched, you know, our own wretchedness, the fact that we are opposed to God as sinners. I mean, we're enemies of God's in our minds, and we're rebellious toward him. That's who we were. That's what it was all about. Until we recognize that, the grace of God really doesn't make sense, does it? The redemption price that God paid for us doesn't make sense. This new birth that he gives us doesn't make sense, apart from us really coming to grips with the reality of what we were apart from Jesus Christ. And then when we realize what we've become through faith in Jesus, oh man, it just blows you away. Just absolutely blows you away.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, you can't appreciate any of this new birth if you're just going to hold on to some sort of compromised view of the unbeliever. If the unbeliever is in the image of God spiritually, we toss these terms around, you know, we're all, you know, people will say things like, we're all children of God, or we're all children of the Creator, or we're all, you know, perfectly in the image of God, that sort of thing. And when you dig a little deeper, you find out, well, those are popular things to say in, you know, the Bible Belt, in Christianity in general, but the Bible itself has an altogether different message. And that is, as you said, Bob, that we are wretched, and we actually need a new heart, and we need a new spirit, and we need to be born again, and we need to be recreated in the image of Christ. And all of that has to happen at salvation. Otherwise, we're not saved. You know, we've got to be saved from something. And so in order to appreciate how amazing the miracle of new birth is, we first have to be honest about our prior condition, and we need to preach and teach clearly on that. Otherwise, people get a murky message and they don't understand that salvation is resurrection, that salvation is new life, that salvation is you getting infused with the very life of Christ and him changing your very core, tearing out your heart of stone and giving you a new living heart. And that is a big deal. We got to know that we are new, and what does new mean? It means a great deal.
Yes, it does. Yes. It really does. 844-322-2742 is the number. We still have time on the clock. Would love to hear from you if you have a problem situation, anything that you would like to know about on how the gospel applies in your day-to-day life. Right now is a great time to call. 844-322-2742.
Yeah, we've got another question from Terry, who writes and tells us that after a 15-year exposure and involvement with a legalistic church, I became acquainted with grace. And I found it curious, you know, I tried to share grace in my church, and I found it curious that grace was seen as threatening. And I have to wonder if I was saved during the 15 years of believing Christ. Did I misunderstand, you know, what was going on in that time of confusion?
It's an interesting question. You know, I came to Christ as a 12-year-old, mm-hmm. and didn't know much about the gospel, didn't know much about the Christian life, how it was really supposed to work. So I just went about it, you know, with my own understanding, and human effort was all I had to rely upon. That was the only option on my menu. At least that's what I thought. And so when I failed, I would double down on my efforts. I would make promises to God and all of those sort of things. And, you know, I wondered time after time after time if I was really saved. And so every time I blew it, I'd pray to receive Christ again. And then finally answers started coming to me as I really started opening up the Word of God, and God began teaching me the way of grace, the truth about the grace of God and the fact that I had been made alive together with Christ. And that's when everything changed. That's when I started learning to say no to sin and yes to Jesus and seeing the fruit of his life being lived out in me. But now that I look back on all of that, I think, well, God was there with me the whole time, because even though I didn't know how the Christian life was really supposed to work, I always knew that Jesus was the answer. There was something in my heart saying that Jesus was indeed the way, the truth, and the life. Never doubted that, never questioned that. So I think that was a part of that new heart that God had put inside of me. And finally, you know, I started learning truth about what that new heart was all about, what this relationship with Christ was all about. But it's interesting in her question that the church was a little taken back by the grace of God, or threatened
yes.
by the grace of God. Andrew, we see that all the time, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Terry is asking a question that I think a lot of us would ask. You know, we are acquainted with this grace message in a deeper way at some point, you know, maybe 10 years after first hearing the gospel, we might become acquainted with a deeper understanding of our forgiveness, a better understanding of this new covenant, you know, whether it was through basic gospel or whatever it might be. You know, for me, a long time ago, it was this ministry and it was the book of Hebrews that really God used to just explode, open my understanding of his grace and help me to see just how amazing his love really is. So then you ask questions like, Terry, well, you know, then was I really saved before? And well, you know, what is salvation and what's the minimum? And you know, people ask that, what's the minimum requirement to be saved and that sort of thing? Well, I think we need to say up front, regarding Terry's question, that we're not saved by a perfect understanding. We're not saved by a whole comprehensive intellectual grasp of the gospel. We're saved when we simply understand that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, that he is the Son of God, that he was raised from the dead to give us new life, and that he died to pay for our sins. And it doesn't matter what words we use, it's the attitude of the heart that says, I can't save myself, I'm asking you to save me, Lord, so you save me. My salvation is your problem, I'm laying it at your feet, you be my Savior. And when we do that, we can do it at 6 years old or at 60 years old or anywhere in between. And then after that comes more and more understanding. And as you described, Bob, in your experience and mine, I'm sure, Richard, yep. you know, you have an experience of being acquainted initially with who Jesus is and what he did on the cross and through the resurrection. And we have a glimpse of this gospel, and yet we all grow in it. And I think that's what's happened with Terry. And so we have to remember that, you know, God's looking at the heart. He's not looking at the intellect. He's looking at the heart. And we're all going to grow and experience the renewing of the mind but we are saved by faith. We are saved by grace through faith, not through being smart, not through being smart and wise and having a comprehensive understanding of every facet of the gospel. Those things come with time as Jesus grows us up in him.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to our phone lines and talk with Robert, who's listening to us in New Jersey on WMCA. Hi, Robert. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call.
You are so welcome. What's on your mind today?
Well, I have been born again for the last probably 7 years, and I know that I'm redeemed through the blood of Christ. My question is there any point during salvation that I could lose it, or anybody could lose their salvation?
Well, I'm going to let Andrew answer that, but let me give you one verse, a verse that I've read most every day this week on the broadcast. It is this, Hebrews 9:12. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. So the redemption you have, Robert, in Christ is eternal. That should give you some assurance and confidence and a solid rock to stand on as far as your relationship with Christ is concerned. The blood that Jesus poured out was eternal in value and eternal in its efficacy as far as we're concerned.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's Hebrews 9, and Hebrews is one of our favorites around here. As you go back a couple of chapters, Robert, to Hebrews chapter 7, it says in verse 25, Hebrews 7:25, one of my favorite verses, it says, "Therefore Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." A lot of people think that they're going to stay saved because they always live good, but this verse doesn't say that. It says because Jesus always lives to intercede for us. So we're not going to stay saved by being faithful. We're not going to stay saved by being consistent. We're not going to stay saved by being obedient. We're going to stay saved because Jesus always lives to intercede for us. So that means the spiritual pressure is off. The burden is on Jesus. He's the one that got us saved, and he's the one that keeps us saved. Otherwise, my friend, eternal life is not really eternal. It would just be a joke. I mean, God would just be play acting, and eternal life would just be temporary until you and I mess it up. But thank the Lord that's not the case. We can't mess up what God has done. What God has done, nobody can mess up. And so we rest in something that is finished, Robert, and your salvation is a finished work. So we just wake up every day and say, thank you, Lord. Does that make sense?
Amen. Thank you, brothers.
All right. Have a great day.
Hey, Robert, you hold the line. We'll send you a CD called Drive the Stake that will even amplify the answer that Andrew just gave you. So you hang on the line. We'll send you that. And thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you, Andrew, for being a part of today's broadcast. Richard as well. Just telling the story of Jesus time and time again. There's nothing better than that. I preached a funeral not too long ago, and somebody came up to me afterwards and said, thank you for telling the story of Jesus. I never tire of hearing it. And this eternal redemption that we have in Christ, it reaches down into the very soul of who we are, the depths of who we are, and brings us peace and comfort and security and assurance. It's the very thing that we need every single day of our lives, and that's what we deliver. That's why what we try to do each day on Basic Gospel is just tell the story of Jesus Christ. We would love for you to help us do that and to reach more people, to connect more people to the love of Christ. You can donate by going to basicgospel.net, clicking the donate button, and just following the instructions there. Come be a part of what God is doing through the Basic Gospel broadcast. Now for Richard, for Andrew, for Greg Coleman, the entire Basic Gospel team, Michelle and Vivian and Jeannie, So long from Dallas, Texas. We'll see you tomorrow.